Give God one more good praise in this place. Oh, my goodness. God has shown himself strong already. Amen. So I'm grateful. Oh, my goodness. Grateful to be in this place. Thank you to my bishop. Oh, in this place. Bishop, keep on walking with your limp. It's like, keep on walking. It's all right. And to these ministers, or to Reverend Dixon, to great ministers, I thank you. I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your love. You guys don't know how much you're helping me already. I'm starting to figure out what it means, Minister Judkins, when you say, all right, help me. Now let us preach this thing. Because the spirit, oh my goodness, the spirit that's up here is just, it's so confirming. I thank, oh my goodness. All right. Have your way. Thank you, Jesus. So I'll read a couple more verses again, just for emphasis. Amen. It says in verse 25, and he cried unto the Lord, that being Moses, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases, thank you, Lord, upon thee, thank you, my God, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh my God, my goodness. I am the Lord that healeth thee. He threw a tree into the waters and the waters were made sweet. What awesome power that's on display here by God. And not just his power, it's great to have power, but look at the mercy of God. Look at the love that God shows to his people here. See, God takes the bitter and makes it sweet. Oh, my goodness. And of course, because we're Solid Rock, we know we're not just talking about that water, right? We're not just talking about the water that they had to drink. But this story serves as an awesome reminder to us today that God is able to take all of the bitter things in your life and make them sweet. Yes, he is. See, all of your bitter situations and all of your bitter circumstances and all of your bitter disappointments and even your bitter attitudes. Oh, my goodness. All of that is made sweet by what? By the power of God. Oh, my goodness. With that thought in mind, the subject we're going to preach from today is bittersweet. Bittersweet. Thank you, Lord. And what the Spirit wants to do today, my God, if you will just believe him and trust him, what he wants to do is use this story, use this text as a reminder to give somebody hope, as a reminder to give somebody encouragement that the same God that healeth thee that we read there is still looking over your situation. The same God that heals you is still in control. Jehovah Rapha, my God, is available to you today. Oh, I just got to say that. Thank you, Lord. See, I know there's sickness all in the body, and I know the church and the saints of God are afflicted, and it hurts me to see Minister Dixon not here, but I'm believing God anyways, and I know in this season we've got our children that are dying in the school, and I know in this season we've got the infrastructure of our country falling apart and killing people, and I know we've got sexual scandals in colleges, places where people are supposed to be safe. They're not safe. There's all kind of sickness in this world, and yet the healer, my God, is here. Oh my goodness, and when we revere him and when we look at him, he will rise as the Son of Righteousness, and when he rises, he's bringing healing in his wings, and he's the one who heals the broken in heart, and he's the one who bindeth up their wounds, and he's the one that they tell me is called the Balm of Gilead, and that God, Jehovah Rapha, is actively engaged in your situation today. Oh my goodness, that's right. See, he sees what you're going through, and you gotta know that he cares. So saints, yeah. So saints of God, I know that we're going through right now. I know there's sickness in these bodies and even in our minds, and there's sickness in our neighborhoods, in our streets, and in our cities, and there is certainly sickness in our country. But God needs you to be reminded today that just like he did for Israel in the wilderness, Jehovah Rapha, keep calling his name, will make this bitterness sweet. Oh, yes, he will. Thank you. Anybody believe it in this house? Anybody believe that he's taking your bitter things and he's making it sweet? Do we have a witness in this house? Oh, my goodness. Somebody stay with him. Stay with him. Oh, my goodness. I believe that there is healing in the house today. Oh, my goodness. Woo. Okay. But before I get too far ahead of myself, thank you, Lord. God is very clear in his word. He's clear today that there are stipulations to this promise. God has promised that there is healing. He himself is the God of healing, so he has promised that it's available to us. And yet there are stipulations. Here we go. Here's the big revelation for the day. You ready? God will if you. That's it. God will if you. Okay, all right. You know, it's not really a deep revelation. It's right here in 26. It says, and God said, or Moses said, if thou wilt diligently, underline if, hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, underline, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. God will, if you. So it is very clear. He makes it very simple here that if we follow his word, healing is promised. That's it. If we follow his word, healing is promised. So what we got to do today is break down that statement into its major two points. Number one, if we follow his word, so we've got to ask the question, are you following his word? Okay, and number two, healing is promised, point blank, plain and simple, you are healed. But do you see the healing the way God sees the healing? Oh, my goodness, it's taken everything in me to say, well, what did you expect? It's taking everything in me. I'm trying not to. But I can't say it like that. Amen, amen. And hint for those who like to cheat and get to the end, the hint here is when you see healing the way God sees healing, it doesn't mean an immediate cessation of all of your symptoms. We'll get there. Okay. Number one. Are you following his word? And remember, if we follow his word, healing is promised. So number one, are you following his word? So obviously, we don't have time to break down all 66 books and go through every single sin that someone could possibly be committing and all the ways and all the times that God said go right and you just went wrong. We don't have time to do all of that. But fortunately, that's not what God wants to do today. So let's look at Israel in and around our text today to give us some checkpoints. That's all we want to do today. And to be clear here, there are some 101 sins, right? There's some beginner level sins, but I don't want to talk about that today. Well, we'll give it to you real quick. If you're out there cussing people out and if you're out there drinking yourself into a stupor and you're out there sleeping with people you're not married to and all of those other 101 sins, get that right now. Get that. Repent, turn. Change your mind about that and get that right. You got to follow his word that way. It's plain and simple. But, so for us today, what we want to talk about is some things. So I know, anybody here really earnestly seeking after God? Anybody? Come on. Speak it. Speak life to yourself. Anybody really searching after God? So the truth of the matter is, when we do these, sometimes we fall into some traps, don't we? Sometimes we fall into some pitfalls. Sometimes we mess up, but we're willing to make the correction. For those willing to make the correction, let's talk. So everything we're going to talk about here comes down to the simple fact, when we look at Israel, that Israel forgot about God. See, they forgot who God was. They forgot to put him in his proper place. They forgot about God's magnificent power. And the real issue with that, it's not like they didn't know. It's not like they hadn't seen that. And as a matter of fact, God was explicitly clear that all the plagues in Egypt were so that they, the Israelites, and also Egypt, would know that God is the Lord, Exodus chapter 7. So they would know that there is no one like our God, Exodus chapter 8, and that there is no one like God in all the earth, in Exodus chapter 9. So they knew that. But if that wasn't good enough, surely they should have remembered the Red Sea experience that they experienced just 3 days prior to our text today, just 3 days ago. But instead, what they did, they lashed out at Moses. Let's sum it up real quick. They lashed out at Moses at the Red Sea for bringing them out to the wilderness just to die. They said, well, because there weren't enough graves in Egypt, you brought us out here to die, Moses? But it's at that point in time that Moses got it right, and he said, no, you should not fear, but instead stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And we all know the story from there. We all know. So Moses stretches out his rod over the Red Sea. And when he does that, the glory cloud, watch God as he moves from in front of Israel to behind Israel to confuse the Egyptians and be in between Israel and Egypt. Watch him as the Lord sends a strong east wind, even though that's not the way the wind was supposed to blow. He sent that wind all night. And when they got up in the morning, the water were congealed on one side and the other. And Israel passed through the Red Sea on dry land. I promise you, I get excited every time I hear about the power of God. Oh my goodness. So not only that, oh my goodness, that wasn't good enough. That's not all it did. But God also got the glory on the Egyptians as they tried to follow. So as they were trying to follow, they saw God in the glory cloud, and they said, okay, we're going to go the other way. And they're going to retreat, except all that happened was the waters returned to their strength and drowned Pharaoh and his army. So look at Israel. Look and picture yourself. Put yourself there as the people of God. Watch now how the dead Egyptians were washing up on the shore. Oh my goodness, their enemies were now, somebody's going to get it, their enemies were washed up on the shore. Those that were troubling them, Pharaoh that was troubling them is now washed up on the shore, and they will see the Egyptians no more forever. Amen, amen. So they did the right thing there, and they broke out into a praise break. Oh. See, Moses and Miriam led the people in the praise of all praises, and they had the best hook that was ever written. It said, the horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. The best, okay, somebody, amen, amen, help me, help me. Oh my goodness, so look at the power of God. Israel witnessed this firsthand, and rightly, they sing praises, acknowledging God's power, and they're going on singing praises, but 3 days later, just 3 days. What did we say? We said they forgot about God. 3 days. So they're moving on. They're moving on in the wilderness. And 3 days later, we're still doing background here, they have yet to find water. But when they come to Marah, the water is no good to drink. So imagine going 3 days in the wilderness with no water. It is reasonable to be thirsty, is it not? Amen. It's reasonable. So they did need water, but when they got to walk tomorrow, there was water there, but it was no good to drink. It was bitter. And we see that in our text today. So keep on reading it. Read it again when you get home. But instead of calling on the God that they just sang about, instead of calling on him, they turn right to complaining, right to their first wilderness murmur. And they murmur against Moses and really against God, and they say, what shall we drink? Oh, and I believe from their history, you keep on reading about Israel, this wasn't the only line that they said. It wasn't just, hey, Moses, we're thirsty. That's not really what they said. But just picture them. It says, you know, well, at least Moses, I had water in Egypt. Yeah. I know I had to make bricks all day in the scorching heat and the hot sun. But, you know, at least I had some water. And true, I know Pharaoh started getting mad at us, and eventually we had to go get our own straw to make our own bricks, and when we couldn't meet the quota, they started beating us down, but at least at the end of the day, after I got beat, I had a glass or a cup of water. You know, Pastor Moses, you brought us out here to die. What are we gonna drink? That's really what they're saying. If they didn't say it with their lips, they certainly said it with their hearts, and when we hear that, don't we get incredulous at Israel's words, and don't we get so mad at their actions? Don't we do that? I mean, man, you saw all of that, and after the Red Sea, God, you would never hear a peep out of me. I will never complain. Don't we say that? Don't we say, okay, I say that. Okay, I'll be truthful, and yet, see, we like to claim the blessings of Israel, but we forget that Israel is really just a picture of us. So unfortunately, I see a lot of us in Israel. Okay, now just talk about me. I see a lot of me in Israel today. Help us, Lord. Help us. God's going to help us. Yes, he will. And so we get in here on Sunday, and we will praise until we're about ready to pass out. And we'll lift our voices until we basically have no voice left. And we will clap and dance and run around the church just like Miriam. But come hump day. 3 days later, on Wednesday, we forget about God. Sometimes we forget about God. We forget to keep our praise always, and we forget that I will not turn back, and we forget that God is a good God and worthy to be praised. Now we forget. Sometimes we forget, and that's our first checkpoint here. When we're talking about, are you following the word of God? Our first checkpoint here is, do you only express shallow praise? Is all that you have shallow praise? See, the shallow praise is when you praise just because someone else is praising, and you praise just because someone else asks you to, and you praise only for that temporary feel good that you get here on Sunday, and your shallow praise is a sometimey, once a week, only on Sunday kind of praise. Is that you? We got to be careful. We got to be careful. It's a trap. It's a trap. Please don't get it twisted that sometimes we fall into those traps and we allow the enemy to steal our joy because we hand it over to him. Oh, okay, and if you don't believe me, if we weren't susceptible about this, or if susceptible to this, why would the New Testament, why would the Bible, all over the Bible, really keep reminding us to keep praising God? Why would it remind us to rejoice evermore? Why would Paul have to remind us in everything, give thanks? Yes, in that one, give thanks. And even in that one, give thanks. And even with that Cain, give thanks. Why would he have to remind us if it wasn't a trick of the enemy? See it for what it is. See it for what it is. So saints of God, saints of God, saints of God, if we want the God who heals us to step in and take control, if we want God to turn the bitter things into our life sweet, then we need to make sure that our praise goes with us wherever we go. See, that praise ought to go with you to work, where even though Caesar is messing with you that day, and even though he's getting on your nerves, you will be found tapping your foot under your desk, and you just don't know what got into you. And that praise ought to follow you home, where even though your husband and your children are running around making a mess, and you just sit there, and you go ahead, and you're still washing those dishes. That's okay, ladies, or whoever's washing the dishes, I should say. And while you're washing, you're humming, and you're just singing how good God is, and you're maybe even belting out your favorite song. See, that praise ought to follow you to your car, my goodness, where even though you just got cut off, and even though somebody flipped you off, and even though they tried to drive you off the road, you may need to pull over anyways, because I start to remember the love of my God. And if I get too happy, this car is... And I dare say sometimes you even got to come into church Sunday with your own praise. When there's no music playing, the preachers haven't even made it up yet, and yet there's a high worship. I've never seen... Never 25 years, and I've never seen that happen. Oh my God, okay. That's because somebody decided to bring their praise with them. Thank you, Jesus. So, because I need you to be the one who will bless the Lord at all times, be the one whose praise will continually be in your mouth, be the one whose soul will make their boast in the Lord. Do these things, and you won't fall into that trap. You won't fall into the trap of shallow praise that forgets about God when obstacles arise. When something comes up, if you will just follow the word of God and remind yourself of what's in his word, you won't fall into that trap like Israel did. Amen, amen, amen. Number two. We got to keep going with the instruction here. So, I understand that shallow praise might not be your thing. You may have that down. Bless you. So the second one here is, what else can we learn, from this story that shows us where we can get in closer alignment with God's word? Well, we don't have to look far. Let's go to the next chapter. Let's go to the next chapter, 16. And so in 15... they complain about the water, and God turns the water sweet. And even better than that, their next stop in Elim, they had all the water that they needed. There were palm trees and 12 wells of water. And so, but chapter 16, they forget about God again. I told you, that's the theme. But this time, they're hungry, and again, reasonable. Hot wilderness travel, you'll be hungry. That's okay. It's more than reasonable. But in that hunger, what did they do? When they faced that obstacle, what did they do? They forgot about God. They forgot that the same God that gave them water to drink could provide food for them to eat. And what do? They go back to lusting for Egypt. Read it in 16 when you get home. I don't have time. And so right there in that lusting for Egypt, here's our second point here, where we know we're not following the word of God when we doubt his provision and we lust after the things of this world. Let's read a part of it. Read chapter 16, verse 3. It says, "And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full." And later on, Minister Osborne, when they talk about the cucumbers and the melons and all that they have, for ye, Moses, have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Oh my goodness, say what? So let me get this straight. God has just revealed himself as the Lord who healeth thee. He just said it. But you're saying that God who healeth thee brought you out here to kill you? Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're accusing God of? And we know today that cannot be so. They couldn't be that stupid. So all we have to deduce is that they forgot. That they forgot about God. They forgot who he was. And if they hadn't forgotten. They wouldn't be longing for the things they had in Egypt. They wouldn't be longing for the food they had in Egypt. They wouldn't be longing for all that Egypt had to offer. Well, I'm sad to say that once again, we today aren't that much different from Israel. And this one, I'm definitely talking to me. This is just me, and it's just recently. See, how many times do we look out and say, man, that grass looks really green over there on the other side? My grass was fine until I looked over that fence. And yeah, and I know, God bless me with my own grass. I know I got A, B, and C, but I want X, Y, and Z. And all of a sudden, you keep your mind there, and you just forget what God has done, and you forget what God is able to do, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're out chasing a job that you got no business going after. Why? Because you've looked at the world, and the world says you deserve this. All of a sudden, you're out buying clothes, and you're out buying sneakers and cars, and some of us buying houses that we cannot afford. It's the truth anyways. Why? Because someone else has it. Well, someone else isn't giving money to the church. Someone else isn't tithing, but they have it. And you think that because they have it, I surely must deserve it because I got the Spirit of God. But some of us, okay, that's not yours. Some of us even end up in unequally yoked relationships. Because sister so-and-so found her man, and because brother so-and-so's got a good woman, you know, I don't deserve to be alone. God, you ought to be, be careful. And know that God knows what you have need of, just like he knew that Israel was hungry. He knew it. The manna was on the way. The quail was on the way. And yes, I know it may seem like you're going through what seems to be a bitter wilderness wandering right now, but trust that God knows and God cares. All he's doing, like he said in chapter 15, is testing you. God is testing you. He's proving you. And he wants to see if you will seek him first. So saints of God, don't doubt his provision. Don't chase after the things of this world just because they have it, but wait on the Lord. And again, I say, wait on the Lord, because what he has is so much better than you could ever imagine. Just like the milk and honey of the promised land would be so much better to Israel than anything they could have imagined in Egypt. Amen. That's it. We're going on to the third one. So the shallow praise, okay, we got that one, and we got to stop lusting after the things of this world. That's me. That one's on me. And if I haven't gotten to you, let's go to this next one. Checkpoint number three. So we move on now to chapter 17. And the people, once again, same temptation, same test. God's like, all right, you're going to get this one this time. Once again, they're thirsty. We've been here before. Surely Israel's going to get it. Oh, yeah, okay. They have journeyed now farther to Rephidim. I had it right earlier. To that place, somewhere between the Red Sea and Sinai. That's where they were. But in here, there is no water. There's no water here. And instead of remembering that God could provide that water, it's here that they just outright lose their mind. And they just get indignant to the point where they're arguing with Moses, and they're even at the point of threatening his life. So finally, Moses breaks down and says, look, people, why do you tempt the Lord? It's not me, Moses is saying, but it's the Lord. Why are you testing him? Why are you challenging God? And there it is. There's our third and final checkpoint for are you following his word? And you know you're not, because we transgress his word sometimes and his will for our lives when we challenge God. And take note, this isn't the same kind of challenging that Bishop talks about that says, you know, if you're in his will, you know, you can hold him, you can obligate God to do things that's in his word. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about the same kind of prove me, test me, try me that we haven't read today, but in Malachi where we read that, that's not the same thing we're talking about. But instead what we're talking about is questioning God's authority. This is the same kind of thing that Satan did to Jesus in his wilderness. Oh, somebody will get that one. It's the same kind of thing, but Jesus passed that test and said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So Jesus passed that one, and yet Israel here has the wrong response to this temptation, the wrong response to this trial. Chapter 17, verse 7 says, they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Woo, my goodness. They challenged and they questioned the very presence of an omnipresent God. Okay, my goodness, so essentially what they're doing here is commanding Moses, give us water or else. And by saying that to Moses, they were really saying that to God. God, give us or else. Okay, I got nowhere else for you. But so what gave them the right to do that? Did they think that because God gave them sweet water in Marah that he owes them now? You think God owes you something? Okay, because he rained manna from heaven, all of a sudden you deserve all of that and then some now? Oh, somebody sees themselves and I see myself. That's all right. Because we do the same thing. And even if we're not dumb enough to question God's presence, we do in some ways do like Israel and challenge God. How? When we are contentious with our leaders. Ooh, that's on somebody. It's in the room. It's in the room. And what I mean here is not a simple disagreement. They didn't say, hey, you know, Moses, we would like some water. No, no, no. They were utterly disagreeable in their spirit. They had an attitude that would not be pleased no matter what. So no, we know that our leaders don't always do right. We know that's true. And that goes inside the church and that goes outside the church. And it's in your job and it's in your home. All of these things, we know we don't always do right, or the leaders don't do right. But when we challenge them in our spirits, when we challenge them in a hostile way, really what we're doing is challenging God's decision to put them there. Look at Sunday school, look at Daniel. When we talked about Daniel, look at the way that he gained favor with those that were over him. That's the way that you're supposed to do it. You're not supposed to do it in a hostile way. You're not supposed to do it in a contentious way. You're supposed to do it with love, and God will give you the wisdom to how to maneuver in those situations. So are you out here talking about your bishop in the barbershop? And are you out in the beauty salon saying, your minister so-and-so, maybe not that. Are you at work and in the cafeteria bashing your boss? That was me. That boss is good for nothing. If I just could get in that role, I would do X, Y, and Z, and I'd be so much better. Okay, children, are you constantly in rebellion against your parents, and especially godly parents, be careful, and disobeying their authority and not doing what you've been asked to do? If any of these things are in your life, then at that moment, at that time, you are in fact challenging God. So don't get so uppity with Israel. We do some of the same things. And if we consistently find ourselves in this state, then it is sure that we are not operating in the will of God. And when we're not doing that, God has no obligation to heal us by blessing our mess. None. And yet, thank God for his mercy, Brother Brian. Because despite Israel's murmuring, God at this time said, Moses, go ahead and hit the rock, and he gave them water anyway. But rest assured that God's mercy is not going to let you get away with that forever. All you got to do is go over to Numbers and see where Miriam challenged Moses and see how God turned her into a leper. Go over to Numbers and see when God, we don't like this food. And God said, oh yeah, bet. Here's some quail and it's coming out of their nostrils. Go over to Numbers and even look at Moses himself when he was supposed to speak to the rock. But he challenged God by hitting the rock. And God said, okay, bet, you're not going in. Ah, oh my goodness, don't take advantage of that mercy. Don't take advantage. Don't continue to murmur and question God. Don't continue to murmur against his leaders in the church and outside. Pray for him, if anything, and especially ours in this country. And get it straight, people. He is our president, whether you like it or not. So just start praying for him. Hey, oh, somebody, okay. Okay, I'll leave that one alone. It's the truth anyway. So of course, we don't get all of these things. We don't get all of these things right all of the time. We're not even talking about the countless other pitfalls that we haven't discussed. But once again, we have to thank God for his mercy and his infinite wisdom. Why? Because we can use this word today and every other sermon we've heard to improve ourselves in the process of regeneration. As we continue to press, as we continue to do our very best to look more and more like Jesus, God honors that press. And the Bible says that he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. So part of his word, the way God set it up, part of his following his word is continuing to come to him in repentance. Because as the word convicts us, then step by step and day by day, we've got to work to make the corrections. And when we do that, at that time, the God who heals us can step in. And the God who heals us can turn the bitterness of our sin into a sweet-smelling savor of salvation. That time, when you're following his word and you're constantly seeking his face and you're repenting and turning things over to God, that's when he can step in and healing can take place. Somebody believe it in this place. Somebody believe it in this place. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. So there's the instruction. That's the instruction there. So number two, we talked about if you follow his word, then healing is promised. So we've heard about the instruction. Now let's move on to the blessing, because I know there's an anointing in this house, and I know that healing is available in this house now that we have yielded to God. Amen. And now that we are committed to doing our due diligence to seek and stay in his will. So now we can receive the blessing. We can receive the healing in the name of Jesus. You see, today, I'm just crazy enough to believe that there's at least two or three other believers in this house who are lining their life up with the word of God. Okay, well, I heard three. Amen. I'm crazy enough to believe that there's at least a few people here today who are willing to receive the instruction of the word today and every day when you read it on your own and make the corrections in your life. So it's with that belief that I can boldly declare that we are healed. I believe it. Healing is taking place right now. The healer is in the house right now. So do you believe? Will you believe with me for healing? Somebody needs it in this season, in this time of trial. Healing is here. Thank you, Jesus. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. That sounds like belief to me. Yeah. Oh, somebody's getting there. That I know it looks crazy. See, that's what I need to do today. God needs to restore somebody's hope. And God's got to encourage somebody's heart that the God who heals us is in our midst. And that God wants to bless you. Not only does he want to bless you, but he has already blessed you. He has already set things in motion. He has already taken the bitterness out of your circumstance and made it sweet. Woo! All of this is yours. All of this belongs to you. But you've got to see things the way God sees them. That's our second point. Do you see things the way God sees it? You've got to see your healing the way God sees your healing. You've got to see your protection the way God sees your protection. You've got to see your provision the way God sees your provision. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So all I'm saying today, when I say you've got to see things the way God sees it, all I'm saying is please, 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 for the love of Almighty God, take God out of that nice, neat box that you have placed him in. If it's not in here, take him out. Take him out and let God work. Stop thinking that healing is going to come just this one way. Stop believing that if he hasn't removed all the symptoms of your sickness that you're not healed. No, expect God. My hope is in him. My expectation is from him. So I got to believe that, and I'm grateful that his ways are not my ways and his thoughts are not my thoughts and his resources know no boundaries. So what I need you to do today is tap into the Holy Ghost of God and see things through his eyes. You see, it may look bitter right now. Help me, Jesus. It may look bitter right now, but God is making it sweet. All you've got to do here is look at Israel. Look at Israel. And you will know that God surely knows what he's doing. Oh, let's prove it. Just like Israel, when they were in Egypt, all you may see right now is bitter oppression on every side. But I submit to you, Bishop, that you've got to see healing the way God sees it. Because what may look like oppression to you is just a prelude to you spoiling your enemy. See, Israel walked out with silver and they walked out with gold and they walked out with everything, that's what the Bible says, that they needed for their journey. So you've got to see it the way God sees it. Okay, you don't believe that one. You may feel like your job and your relationships and your marriages and even your whole life have hit a Red Sea-sized dead-end roadblock. But I need you to see things the way God sees it. And because what God knows is that he's using that roadblock to open up a path that you would have never imagined otherwise. Oh, and he won't stop there. So when you get to the other side, look back and see your past drowning in the Red Sea. See that bad marriage drowning in the Red Sea and see it be made brand new. See that wayward child drowning in the Red Sea, but he's coming forth brand new.
Thank you, Jesus. And go ahead and get a good old praise break in right there. Okay, that's not you. You don't believe it yet. See, I know. You're working hard and you're putting in your hours and you're doing everything that you gotta do. And yet still sometimes the money gets a little funny and there's more bills than there is money. And you feel like Israel in the wilderness that you don't have the proper provisions. But in that moment, see things the way God sees things. And if you will just hold on, the new avenues of provision that you never even expected are going to present themselves. So what you thought was bitter, watch it be made sweet. Thank you, Lord. You don't believe me. You don't believe me. I've seen it in this house. See, there are jobs that people in this place have that they don't qualify for. And there are educational opportunities that people thought they would never get, and yet they have watched them come to pass. And there is entrepreneurial success in this house like no one ever dreamed. And at the very least, there's help from a brother or sister in Christ right when you need it. But you gotta see things the way God sees things. And he's trying to do something new, but you keep complaining. Oh, one more. Okay, for all the preachers of the gospel, and I've been doing it for 3 seconds now, for all the preachers of the gospel, but I've got to take the moment to encourage my bishop. See, bishop, you may sweat, and thank you, Jesus, and you may toil, and you may study, and you may pray, and you may preach, and you may counsel, and yet, like Moses, all you seem to see is stiff-necked, murmuring church folks. Oh, my goodness, Bishop, I know it seems hard right now. Oh, my God. But I've got to encourage you today, Bishop, to see things the way God sees things. And what God sees is that he's planted a Joshua. And what God sees is he's planted a Caleb. So when you're ready, all of your work, Bishop, will not be in vain. All of those bitter, countless hours will not be in vain, but God is making it sweet. Thank you, Jesus. Keep on walking, Bishop. Oh my goodness, we gotta go. So, saints of God, all I'm trying to get across is that healing may not be immediate. But what you will have is, as they went, they were healed kind of testimony. If you will just follow him, then God has promised your healing. You see, we're going. In verse 26, God promised that he wouldn't put the diseases of Egypt on Israel if they were obedient to him. And yet, if you read all of Exodus, you see that they did have to endure at least the first three plagues. And that's just like us. We have to go through some things in this life. We've got to. That's why it's bittersweet. As much sweetness as there is, as long as we're in this world, there's going to be some bitter. We've got to go through. But check this out. This didn't mean that God lied to them. This didn't mean that God went back on his word. When God said he wouldn't put the diseases of Egypt on them, all he's talking about here is judgment. He's talking about judgment. He's talking about condemnation. Okay, the Bible says it in Exodus chapter 6. It says, I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. And he says it again in chapter 7. God will bring forth mine enemies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt. How? By great judgment. Yeah. We're going. You see, God through the plagues was bringing judgment on the people of Egypt and on the gods of Egypt. So for you believers who will receive the instruction of God, for you believers who are determined to walk in his will, I need you to understand that even though you may have sickness in your body right now, I need you to understand that even though you may have sickness in your mind, even though your family may be going through, and even though you've got sickness on your job, and even though your neighborhood is in disarray, God is not judging you. God, Jesus, oh, that's mercy. God is not condemning you, but just like Israel, he's proving you, he's testing you, he's purifying you, and he's healing you. And when God gets done with you, you will come forth just like pure gold. See, the blessings of God, the Bible declares, will overtake you. And you will come out blessed and not cursed. And you will come out as the head and not the tail.
Oh, I gotta go down. I gotta go down.
You will be above and not beneath. You will come out sweet and never bitter. Because I'm here to tell you that Jehovah Rapha. Oh, say it. That Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals you, is in the house today. And he's ready to heal. And he's ready to deliver like only he can do. You see, just like God was the only one who could turn the bitter waters to sweet for Israel, my God is the only one who can take my bitterness and make it sweet. How do I know? Well, it's in our text. See, when he instructed Moses to throw the tree into the waters, what you need to understand is that there was and there is to this day no known tree that could change the properties of water and change them from bitter and make it sweet. No, it was only the power of God using the tree as a vehicle for deliverance. Well, I'll stop by to tell you that just like in Mara, I've witnessed what the power of God can do with just a lowly tree. Even though the Bible declares that cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, when my God gets a hold of it, he fashioned it into a cross and he threw it on a hill called Calvary. And that great and awesome power of God made my bitter, disgusting, destined for hell life. He took all of that and made it sweet. How did he do it? Well, it's all because Jesus came all the way from earth to glory to take my place on that cross. And when he did that, God made good on his word that he wouldn't put the judgments of Egypt upon me. Instead of giving me hell, instead of giving me blood for water, instead of giving me lice, instead of giving me boils, instead of giving me frogs, he gave it to Jesus. Jesus put the curse on himself instead. Ooh, Jehovah Rapha, he did his best work that day. When he healed me, when Jesus hung, bled, and died on Calvary. So you gotta see things the way God sees it. And when you do that, what looked like a bitter death for Jesus was nothing but a sweet, sweet victory for me. He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement that secured my peace, he put it on himself. And with every single stripe, I said, with every single stripe, I am healed. My bitter tongue is sweet. My bitter mind is sweet. My bitter family is sweet. Those bitter generational curses have been sweetly broken. Yeah. But it's not done yet. It only gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. Because unlike Pharaoh, unlike every god of Egypt, God was able to raise his son from the dead. And he proved it early that third day morning. And because my Savior lives, just like he brought Israel to the temporary stop at Marah, he's bringing me to the abundance of Elim. He's bringing me all the way from earth to glory. I found a Savior. I found a Savior. And he's sweet. I know. If God can do all of that, if God could conquer death, hell, and the grave, then surely he's able to heal you and make what was bitter in your life and turn it sweet. But I need you to hold on. I need you to keep pressing. I need you to keep on going. If you will, if you can't do anything else, just stand. But stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Somebody give him praise. Healing is here. Woo. Healing is here. Healing is here. I don't care what it looks like. See it the way God sees it. And even if you don't know exactly what he's doing, just wait, wait, wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. Healing is here. The God who heals you wouldn't call himself that if he couldn't do it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody believe it in this house. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And we're not even just talking about physical healing. Somebody needs spiritual healing in this place. Somebody's children need a mind healing in this place. Oh, my goodness. Stop putting God in that box and saying, well, as soon as Bishop stops limping, he's healed. You heard what the man said. Even if he doesn't heal it. Oh. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. This is a promise. It's a promise. It's a promise from God. He has promised that you are blessed and not cursed. And that promise will ultimately be fulfilled when he presents you faultless before the presence of God. That sounds sweet to me. And I believe, saints, that we get glimpses of that ultimate healing while we're here on earth. So I'm believing God for it, because the same God he is in heaven, he's the God here that heals us. He is the God that takes our bitterness and makes it sweet. For the unsaved, Israel today is a picture of the salvation that's available to you. See, just like Israel, in the midst of your bitterness, in the midst of those bitter waters, in the midst of your unhappiness and grieved and disgruntled state, all you need to do, like Moses, is cry out to God. Cry out. If you're sick of this bitter life, cry out to God and watch him extend mercy to you, just like he did in Marah. And how did he do it? He did it. We talked about it through his son, Jesus Christ, on Calvary. But you've got to submit. You've got to follow his word. You've got to get that spiritual healing when you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Then and only then. God will, if you, and you shall be saved. So what I need is, I need somebody to be a witness today. I need somebody to raise your hand if you are a witness that God has taken your bitter life of sin, thank you, Jesus, and replaced it with his sweet, sweet salvation. Thank you, Lord. Somebody be a witness. Somebody be a witness. Thank you, Lord. Somebody take courage this day and know that your healing is already done. But you've got to see it the way God sees it. Somebody be renewed in your spirit this day. And know that the God who heals you, Jehovah Rapha, is taking your bitter life and making it sweet.